Father, bless these words to our hearts. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive. Father, give us a portion from your throne and from your heart. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for one farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth profit in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whomsoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And also turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Have you ever considered what things God has prepared for them that love him? There are two things. In general, all things that God has prepared for them that love him fall into two categories. The first category is what they will face here on earth. The second category is what they will receive for it. What they will face here on earth, we are promised, if we are willing to walk with him, that we will be persecuted by the world. We will be hated. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated God. They still hate God. They hated Christ. They crucified him. They hate God. They would crucify him again if they could. That's why you see this effort wholesale in the world to get rid of God in schools and in public places, like take out the Ten Commandments. They don't want God. They hate him. So if you stand for God, don't be surprised if people will hate you for it. It's a guarantee. They will not hate you if you are willing to compromise with them. They will not hate you if you are willing to lay down your cross and pick up your natural life And they will not hate you if you conform to their ideas of what your religion ought to be like. Hey, you can have your religion, but don't push it on me. Okay, fine. You can have your hell, but I will tell you that that is where you are going to go because I stand before God. I don't want your blood on my hands. But they don't want to hear that. They hate God, and they will hate you if you are willing to walk with God. Now, they will love you if you are willing to compromise. There are a lot of Christians who are well-loved in the world. They are well-accepted and they are well-respected. Now, that in and of itself does not mean that a person is a compromising Christian. For example, Billy Graham, I do not believe, is a compromising Christian, although he has a lot of respect. But he also gets a lot of flack. There are also a lot of people who hate him. So there will be those who may love you, but there will be many who hate you because you stand for God. And I would dare say the ones who hate you will be more than the ones who love you. The ones who love you will be very, very few. Woe unto the man who has lots of friends. Right? Why do you think that is? Why woe unto him who has lots of friends? Because he must have compromised a lot to get those friends. Whatever you do, never compromise your walk with God. You will be asked to compromise your walk with God. As a matter of fact, it will be demanded of you that you compromise your walk with God. And sometimes, God forbid, but sometimes it may be even demanded of you within your own homes. Like, there are many situations, you know, I don't know any people like this personally, or at least they haven't shared this with me, but I know of many people who, for example, well, actually I do know one person, a woman I used to work with, and her husband felt like he was being called to the mission field, and she said, no way. Now, that was a difficult thing for her husband, because if he is indeed being called by God, and she is saying, no way, then that is okay, who do you listen to? Now, certainly he can be patient with her and pray that God builds her capacity, but when God says go, you go. And if she isn't, you know, if she does not follow, you know, that can have bad repercussions on, you know, on their life together, but still. I mean, I think when Hosea's wife decided to be a prostitute, he didn't go following her after that. Right? Hosea stood by his convictions. He would not yield. Never yield your convictions. Never yield godliness on the altar of convenience or ease or comfort. A lot of believers do that. Do not do that. You see, there is a reason why you don't want to do that. And the reason is the second thing that God has prepared for us. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 2. Starting in verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give to him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The morning star order is the highest reward, highest position that the believer can be given by God. It is the order of the overcomer. It is the order of the one who would not yield in the face of the world, in the face of adversity, but the sweet fellowship that he has with God. It is the believer who would not yield his convictions. And it is the believer who held on to them until the end. The result is that God will appoint that believer unto the Morning Star Order. The Morning Star Order is the order of Christians who have the closest relationships to the Savior in heaven. Not all believers in heaven will be equal. Now, all believers in heaven will have the maximum capacity of joy that they have. In other words, their joy will be full, but not all believers will be equal. And Revelation chapter 2 and 3 outline the Morning Star Order. That is the order that is promised to the overcomers in the seven spirits that were present in the seven churches of the church age. Now, when Revelation chapter 2 says that the Spirit expressly speaks to the angels of the churches, he's talking there about pastors. The word is messenger or pastor, agalos. So he's talking to the pastors of the churches, and that Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 walks amongst those churches. He walks within those churches from believer to believer as the word of God is being preached, and he ministers his life to that believer. That is why it is possible for two people to hear the same message but receive something completely different, because the Spirit goes from person to person, examining the heart, examining how they hear, examining how they respond, and accordingly ministering to their heart His portion for them according to their needs and their capacity. So the Spirit walks amongst the candlesticks and He holds the seven stars in His hand. And in Revelation chapter 1, we're told that the seven stars are the seven pastors of the seven churches. And the seven churches of Asia Minor are the seven spirits during the church age between Pentecost and the rapture. And they are outlined there. Now, there are those who would say that these things are only given to the individual churches. That is not correct, because in Revelation chapter 1, Christ instructed John to send this letter, only one letter, to send this one letter to all seven churches. Now, there were more than seven churches in Asia Minor. There were a lot of churches in Asia Minor. But God chose these seven because these seven churches were indicative of the church spirits throughout the church age. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before. Today we are living in the last of these. But some of these representations are present throughout all of the church age. In other words, each of these churches still has its representation today, even though the prevalent one is the last one, Laodicea. Now, these promises were given to all the churches. That means that the promises were given to all of the believers. But notice one thing about this. Every time that Jesus, all seven of these churches, He says the exact same thing. He that overcometh, and he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, that tells me a couple of things. In order to become an overcomer, I have to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And how do I hear what the Spirit has to say to the church? Well, it is through the pastor. Well, if I am to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, then first of all, the pastor of the church must be a man who is hearing from the Spirit. Or I will not hear what the Spirit has to say to this church. I will hear what he has to say to the church without his Spirit, without the Spirit of God. And that is common. But God speaks to the pastor of the church, and through that pastor he speaks to the people. That is one of the reasons why in Hebrews we are told, gather together more and more as you see the day approaching. Because the days are evil. Yet people somehow feel like, okay, I have an opportunity to hear richly from the Word of God. Now, I can understand why people would not necessarily want to go to church sometimes if the preaching is not rich. If the Word of God is not alive and vibrant. And this isn't to condemn. And certainly there are times when people cannot because of circumstances in their lives or, you know, whatever. But as a rule, quote rule, I don't mean like law, but as a practice in our lives, we gather together more and more as we see the day approaching, because the days are evil. You see, the activity of the enemy today is far greater than the activity of the enemy a couple thousand years ago. Because he knows that his time is short. He knows that that he is about to be cast into the pit, and he knows he better start working. Well, he's been working, but you know what I mean, really gear it up. And so the opposition in the world will come our way. And this is one of the reasons why the world hates us so much, because they are responding to the God of this world, to the prince of the power of the air, and the air talks about the demons. So they are responding to this, and people get laid back. They don't go. They become Sunday morning Christians, and they don't go they don't even go to a church where they have three services a week, or two for that matter. They've got their Sunday morning thing in their program. And I'm not trying to knock anybody's church, but you guys, you know what? And within a few years, you're going to be having to make these choices on your own. And you had better, and I'm going to put it kind of bluntly, you had better choose correctly. Because your eternal state will depend on it. Because the overcomer overcame when he heard what the Spirit has to say to the churches. The one who did not hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, even though he may have attended church all his life, is not going to be an overcomer. I mean, it's dead serious. But He that overcomes gets the morning star. And the morning star is a really good place to be. The morning star order is the place where I want to find myself as a believer. But it does not come for free. It comes at a price. So let's take a look at this. What is the morning star order? Well, the first thing is, it is the order of the overcomers. The overcomer is the one who keeps my works. What shall we do, the disciples asked, that we may work the works of God? Believe on Him, trust in Him, rely on Him, whom He has sent. The works of God are those works that are done in response to the heart of God in faith. It is a walk of faith. That is the works of God. So the overcomer, first of all, is the one who his entire life has learned to overcome the world by walking in faith, by trusting the heart and the character and the word of the Savior. That is the overcomer. Because the love of God builds faith in that person. And as they grow in faith, they grow in the love of God. And it becomes this cyclic thing. It snowballs. I grow in faith and I receive the love of God. I receive the love of God and it gives me capacity to grow in faith. I cannot trust you unless I know your heart toward me. If I know your heart toward me, then I will trust you. I cannot really trust God until I've learned His heart toward Him. But when I have learned God's heart towards me, until I learn His heart towards me, and when I learn that heart towards me, I can learn to trust Him. So really, the one who walks in faith all his life is the one who receives His word, because faith comes by hearing, and then responds to His word because of the love of God, because faith works by love. And so that person becomes an overcomer. And the word end there, the keepeth my word works unto the end, end there is the word telos. And it says a completion of the purpose. There is a purpose to my faith. It is a purpose that is built from God in me. My faith will have a purpose in me. It is not only for an external purpose, It is for an internal purpose, and the purpose of God in my life is to conform me to the likeness of His image. And when I am conformed to the likeness of His image, then my internal purpose will become an external purpose. My internal purpose will then take over my external behavior, my external thinking, and my internal purpose will be reflected in the external, and the external will then also have a purpose. But it stems from the receiving of the love of God. And when I receive the love of God, then I learn to trust Him, and I can walk in faith until that purpose of conforming me to His image is complete. And I become an overcomer. And to Him, I give power over the nations. For 2 Timothy 2:12, it says that if we suffer with Christ, we will also reign with Him. But if I deny Him, He's going to deny me. What does it mean to suffer with Christ? You see, I cannot have power over the nations unless I suffer with Christ. This is talking about Thyatira. Thyatira was a suffering. There was a lot of suffering in Thyatira. Thyatira was a church. And its place in the church age lasted almost 1,000 years. The spirit of Thyatira. But it was a church in which there was great corruption and great suffering of the genuine believers. And those believers who trusted in the Savior, who learned to walk in faith in that church, who suffered with Him, and by suffering with Him is one, they stood in suffering, they did not flee. And two, they stood with those who suffered also. You see, it is not just to receive the suffering, it is also to stand with my brother who is suffering. That means suffering with Christ. And it's not just that the person suffer, because a lot of people suffer, but they suffer and they reveal the nature of God. They suffer with Him. They reveal His nature, they reveal His character, and they allow the suffering to break them. And through that breaking process, the treasure within is revealed. Like, why do you think suffering comes anyway? It comes so that the treasure will be revealed. It does not come because God is into suffering. There is a purpose in it. And so when the believer through faith learns to stand in the furnace and the treasure is revealed, the believer will receive the morning star and reign over the nations. The morning star is rewarded to them who already possess it. I can possess the morning star here. I can possess the nature and character of God here. I can stay under these things here. You see, we think of these things in such linear terms. But the fact of the matter is that the kingdom is within you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. You can ask for your inheritance and receive some of it now. Like, we don't think of that as believers. But didn't it say, give me the heathen as an inheritance, for example? I can have those now. That's what the soul winner is doing. The soul winner is accumulating his inheritance here and now. Like, you know what happened when the woman caught in adultery stood before the Savior? Or Mary Magdalene, when she met the Savior? She stayed with Him and she loved Him. And that was part of His inheritance that He received on earth. You see, soul winning is not just so that people would go to heaven, and certainly that is like huge, but it's also for the benefit of the believer. I can receive my inheritance, or at least a portion of it, now. And that is not wrong. That is right. I can experience heaven now. I can experience the position that I have of being seated above now. I can experience the life of God now. And in fact, I am meant to experience the life of God now, and it will come through picking up my cross. And picking up my cross can only come through the Word of God, because in my natural strength, I cannot pick it up. But the Word of God can produce it in me. And so we get back to that one point over and over, don't we? It stems in the Word of God. That's what it all boils down to. Why do you think that today there is such an attack against the Word of God? Not in the world, in the churches. Because this is our source. This is where we get our life from. In 2 Timothy 3:12, the Word of God says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." This is, by the way, part of the spirit of the age. They don't just continue in the Word, but they forget who they learned the Word from. People don't think about that too much. Like, forsake not the old landmarks. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? But you know what? Those that overcome will receive the morning star. Like you stay in the fire with the man of God, or if you go into the fire yourself, God has a reward for you. If you do not compromise, if you do not yield, God has a reward for you. It's the morning star. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's not exactly what it sounds like. That sounds harsh. But the rod talks about doctrine. What it's saying is that he will rule over them. And the word rule isn't rule. The word is shepherd. He will shepherd them with sound, strong doctrine. Do you know why it is so important to get the Word of God now? To not yield it now? Well, one, without it, there is no morning star for that believer. But two, with it, that is the means by which the believer will reign. He will reign through doctrine. Only through sound doctrine can I become an overcomer. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. God has a purpose in the breaking process. Jesus was broken. And the servant is no greater, the disciple is no greater than his master. Yet believers, we run from the breaking process. The breaking process, one of the things that it never said about breaking, it said it's valuable, right? It has a purpose, the treasure will come out, but it never said it's fun. Breaking is not fun. A lot of believers believe that if somebody is going through a breaking process, that person is in sin. Like, look at Job. Right? His friends sat around for 7 days, and those were the best 7 days with his friends because they were quiet. But then they started talking, and the pleasure went away because they said to him, "Oh man, look, Job, you sinned. This is why things are going bad, because you've sinned." And only the last friend said, "Job, this is a test." The youngest friend, "Job, this is a test." You know why he took the youngest friend? Why the older friends didn't really get it? Because the older friends thought they knew something. And the youngest friend realized he didn't know anything, so he relied on God, and he managed to have discernment through reliance on God to say, "Hey, Job, this is a test." Why was Job suffering? Because God was showing him off. Right? Have you considered my servant Job? God was showing him off to the angels and to the demons. But the ones who were religious in their thinking, who thought they knew something, said, "Ah, you must be in sin." Foolishness. No, all he was doing is receiving the morning star, the highest order that there was. The morning star order comes only to the believer who's willing to walk with God in faith. And that may sound like a really simple thing. What believer wouldn't walk in God in faith, with God in faith? But that's a really simple sounding thing until the fire gets turned on. You see, I don't know my faith until I get into the furnace. Only in the furnace will it be revealed to me if I trust Him. I don't know what I am about in the good times. I only know what I'm about in the face of opposition. And I don't mean in my position. I mean how much of God's nature has been worked into me. Has the Word of God really taken a hold of my life and my mind and my heart? That is where I find out what I am about, is when I get in the furnace. If I can be like the Hebrew boys and say, "If I perish, I perish, but God is more than able," then I know that I have attained faith in my life. Now, that's not to say that the person who isn't severely tested has not attained that faith in their life. Because really, the testings of God are often in the details of life. The furnace doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. The furnace can be just subtle opposition constantly building and finding myself alone, walking with God and having nobody but Him. And that's a common furnace. But that's also a common morning star Christian. The one who will walk with God in that way. You may find yourself in your life at a point where you have no one and nothing. And like even your family may turn against you. That's the furnace. And if you walk in faith to God in that time of furnace, if you suffer with Him, you will also reign with Him. You will receive the morning star. You will receive the highest order. It's like Richard Warmbrand's book when he said to that man, that other, I think he was a pastor, I'm not sure now. He was in prison for 14 years being tortured in a Romanian jail under the communists. And they beat him up really badly and threw him back in his cell, and he turns to this other believer and he said, "If God loves us, how can He let His children suffer so much?" And the man who had been there much longer than Richard Warmbrand, he said to him, "The only man who could choose to his fate has chosen to suffer. Think of the value that he saw in it." You see, the Morning Star Christian is a Christian who sees God's purpose. If I don't see God's purpose, it will be difficult for me to stay in the furnace. But if I see that the furnace is that which purifies the gold, in which the impurities are removed, then it doesn't matter if I fail. Job failed. It does not matter if I fail. I am simply in the furnace and I stay put. And when I stay put and I don't flee from it, God will purify the gold until He can see His image in it. That is what God is looking for through the furnace. God is looking to see if He can see His image in me. And when He can see His image in me, then that particular testing period is over. But the next furnace is coming. Why? Because we have been appointed tribulation. We have been appointed unto persecutions. But our reward is the morning star. And it is only given to the believer who is willing to suffer with Christ. Never shun suffering. Like, blessed are you when they revile you, when men revile you. If you are really going to walk with God, you will not be loved for it. You will be hated. But blessed are you, because you receive the morning star. If you stay put in the furnace and you suffer with Christ, through faith, keeping your eye on the brazen serpent until he can see his image in you. That's it for now. We'll pick this up later.